Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Tell you, we got listeners in Colorado, listeners in Vegas. The Chiseler, the voice from the past, texting us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line at 12:35 in Edmonton. He says, Bob, I loved the Lightfoot Open today. Classic. Spoiler alert, they say today is the 34th year anniversary of you as president of the Jetson Interceptor fan club, taking over from Randy Kilburn. Bob, Pompeii Nightclub, 86-87, and the Top Gun Tom Cruise lookalike contest winner. Was that you back then? As for the Oilers, they'll be better this season, at least on paper. I guess that's why we play the game. Just referencing Gordon Lightfoot, and if you could read my mind, Paperback Hero came out in 1973. The movie Face Off that some of you mentioned came out in 1971, a story about a Toronto Maple Leafs rookie player and had a romance with a musician. The musician was Trudy Young. Art Hindle played the hockey player. There were several NHL players to appear in the movie. Guess who produced that film as we bring aboard Sportsnet Spec? Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Spec, how you doing?
Oh, hanging in there, Bobby. How about you, my friend?
Well, this could be problematic. Let's give it another shot here. Here's what we'll do. You can text us.
Okay, so I can hear Spec. Obviously, you can't hear Spec, hey?
I cannot hear Mark.
All right. Well, we've got our esteemed engineers on the way in to help us out here.
All right. Well, keep texting us at 780-496-0063. Here we go. Bob, Cowtown Bob here. I'm another person who doesn't like the music of Gordon Lightfoot. I feel that his music represents the feelings of the Laurentian elite of Eastern Canada, whose colonial attitudes have been devastating to Alberta. Sad that Canada has had this huge divide. Really? I mean, I know Lightfoot was from Ontario, but that seems a little bit... okay.
All right, you want to give this a try?
Sure, let's do it for all the rich kids that got the... Mark Spector, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Spec, how are you doing?
How about that?
All right, were you able to look up who produced the 1971 movie Face Off, about the Maple Leafs rookie player that had the relationship with Trudy Young, who was a fine actor back in the day? And I'm going to give you a hint. This guy also, Spec, owned the Birmingham Bulls.
Ooh. Own the Birmingham Bulls. Didn't John Bassett own the Birmingham
Bulls? There you go. Nice job. You got one. Usually that's my area. So John F. Bassett, who played tennis, squash, and football and hockey at Western Ontario when he was a Mustang back in the 1950s.
The Purple Ponies, Bob.
The Purple Ponies. You know what? He didn't just produce Face Off. He also produced Paperback Hero. That was another one of his. So we talked about the because today's Gordon Lightfoot's 82nd birthday, Spec, and yeah. That song, if you could read my mind, was in Paperback Hero. Drew Remenda's dad was in that movie. That was came out in 1973. And here's one. We can tie this all the way back into the here and now in politics. You want the 6 degrees of separation? You ready for it?
I'm ready, baby. Let's go.
All right. Guess which owner in the mid-1980s in the USFL sparred the most with New Jersey Generals owner Donald Trump?
That was Bassett.
It was Bassett, and it had to do with the fact that...
he called Trump out and threatened to punch him in the face, as I recall.
Yes. So there you have. And so his
I like him better already, Bob.
Oh, there you go, Mark.
Trump wanted... Trump signed Herschel Walker, correct?
And Doug Flutie, yeah.
Or he wanted everyone else in the league to help him pay Herschel Walker's salary because he was supposedly doing the league such a big favor, and the rest of the owners said, I'm not paying your player's salary. But that was part of the issue, correct?
Yeah, and Bassett ended up passing away in May of 1986. He had a couple battles with brain tumors and eventually passed away, of course. Now, Carlene Bassett, I believe, is his daughter. And she was at one time was probably the best Canadian tennis player into the maybe the late 1980s. And then we've obviously had a couple pretty substantive performances by some Canadian women on the circuit, on the tour. But, yeah, Bassett, just circling back, Mark, to what you said about Donald Trump. I mean, you know, and I know you've written books, and we'll give you a plug coming up for your book on the World Juniors, because I know you're doing a couple of availabilities of that. But maybe educate the listeners that don't know on who paid for Bobby Hull when he went to the WHA.
I believe that it was, I think the rest of the league did, in fact, pitch in for that, correct? But I also believe that was an agreement that was made before Bobby Hull was signed.
Yeah.
Right? They said, okay, look, we can go get Bobby Hull, but I believe that in the case, now you had Jeff Perlman on. He wrote that book on the USFL that I've not read, but everyone's, it seems awesome, and I do keep telling myself to pick it up. I do believe that Trump signed Herschel Walker and then subsequently went to the other owners and said, hey, you guys should be helping me pay for this guy. So it's not quite the same thing, even though it has some similarities.
Yeah, you know what? I'd actually have to check to see whether or not it was Trump whether or not Trump inherited Herschel Walker. I know at the time that Herschel Walker got that contract with New Jersey and the USFL, he was the highest paid player in professional football. They signed him right out of Georgia, right? He didn't go into the NFL draft, and he was the highest. And as you know, Herschel Walker is rated by most people to be the best college football player in NCAA history. He was that dynamic. He probably should have won the Heisman Trophy as a freshman at Georgia. I mean,
WHA playbook, though, right? Like, hit the other league where it hurts. Go in and, you know, the WHA, like, sure, USFL signed Herschel Walker. They ended up with some big names, right? Didn't they have Jim Kelly for a while? And,
yes.
You know, they grabbed some guys. But the WHA that's really how they finally ended up getting four teams in the NHL, is they really, you know, they had Jerry Cheevers, they had Bobby Hull, they had Gordie Howe, like, not just good players, great players. They had Derek Sanderson, right? They had all kinds of good.
Yeah, NHL and by the way, Mark, Trump did sign Herschel Walker. So I wasn't sure if Trump was the initial owner of the Generals, but he definitely signed Herschel Walker. So, and you know that Herschel Walker was one of the guys to go out there and speak on the behalf of.
Sign me to a multi-million dollar deal, Bob, and I'll go out and speak on your behalf.
What's that?
I said, if you sign me to a multi-million dollar deal, I'll go out and speak on your behalf, Bob.
We don't need to do that, Mark. It's shift by shift, baby, on this show. What was Glenn Anderson's line at the end of Boys in the Bus? You're only as good as your last. Yeah, they had a little bit of fun with the word shift, as I recall. So, anyhow, did you hear any of Dave Tippett on yesterday's edition of Oilers Now?
Yeah, I did, and I really liked, in particular, you replayed the line today. I thought that he really captured the essence of what's going on when he said he put, you know, the lineup that he took over when he joined the team up against the depth of the lineup they have now. And it's a far deeper lineup and a far better lineup, and I think that is, no one would argue with that. But I love the way he ended that quote by saying, now we got to go on the ice and prove it. We've got to go on the ice and show it. But this season, the way it's, you know, appearing to stack up, Bob, with tons of games in short periods of time, it's going to be a short window of a season, and they're going to stuff a bunch of games in. Depth will never be more important, right? Having NHL, you know, this organization, Bob, when's the last time their 13th and 14th forwards were genuine NHL players like they are right now? That's going to come in really handy this season, because there will be injuries and they're going to need those guys.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, part of me wonders whether or not they go above because of the COVID situation. If they go above a 23-man active roster, does that make sense? I mean, you might not want to take on the additional money if you're, you know, and I guess part of it, I get, well, first of all, Mark, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Do you think we're going to get to the point where the players' contracts this year are prorated? Is that inevitable?
Oh, I have to think that it's inevitable. It will be a negotiation, but the owners are, so many owners are going to lose so much money simply by opening their doors and playing without fans, that to tell them that they also have to pay players for games that aren't getting played. I just can't see it, Bob. I just cannot see it.
All right. So then the second question is, because of COVID, does it make sense to have more than a 23-man active roster?
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. There's two sets of rules going on here. There's the team that has its farm team in its own town, or an American team with a farm team in its own country. Then there's the Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames and Vancouver Canucks, whose farm teams are across the border in the USA, right? The Edmonton Oilers are different than, how are they going to get a player from Bakersfield if it's a two-week quarantine? They clearly cannot.
Right.
So the Oilers are going to have to carry like 29 or 30 guys. And they may try to use that to their advantage by having, their 24th and 5th guy maybe actual and a real NHL players. So that's all I got to get sorted out, Bob.
Yeah, and there's obviously a lot of work to be done. I mean, Mark, this is the thing when I sit there, and as you know, I'm a huge college football fan, and I see people freaking out, well, they've had to cancel games. The standard is pretty high. Like, if you have three or four guys, it puts your program in peril. People need to remember there's 75 to 125 players in all of these programs, right? So you have a greater probability of somebody testing positive because you simply have more players, Mark.
Yes. Yeah, more players, younger players in a college atmosphere in the United States where COVID is heavy, you're running heavier. All of those things lend to the team out there that's got the best chance in any of these sports of having a COVID issue is an American college football team, Bob. There's no question about that.
Well, and the team that has the greatest chance of success are the deepest teams. So a program like Alabama that's chock full of four and five star recruits, or Clemson, a program, they lose the number one overall pick of the country, Trevor Lawrence, and I got his backup is a sophomore, and is a guy that could step in and play and would be a starter on a lot of other teams. And I think we can extend that metaphor to hockey, which is what Dave Tippett was talking about. It's a prerequisite this year to simply have greater depth. And people would say, well, why would they go out and sign Cahoon when they've already got like 16 guys basically on one-way deals? Because let's not forget, if they're only keeping 14 forwards, Mark, that means guys like Patrick Russell, Joakim Nygaard, Alan Quine, who is on a one-way deal, those guys could all end up theoretically in Bakersfield if they're only able to keep 14 forwards at the NHL level.
Well, okay, but I'm going to say to you that means you have a good team. Like, you have a better team. Patrick Russell is not a surefire NHL player, Bob.
Right,
he's a
right.
tweener at this
yep.
point. He's a good, solid. So is Alan Quine. If Alan Quine's one of my call-ups from the AHL, I like that guy on my roster. He's my third-line center. I'm not good enough. So, every team hires some veteran guys for their AHL team that can come up in a pinch, and that's what those guys are.
Mark, this text comes in saying, no 14 days, something called a Kovalamp results in 2 hours. We'll have to look into a little bit more of that coming up here. Again, you can text us at any time at 780-496-0063. And we're going to continue down that path. Bob Stauffer and Mark Spector with you. Spec for the horses and horse racing, Alberta. It's 1248 in Edmonton.
Hi, this is Oscar Klefbom from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Chet.
And I wonder when we'll be seeing Oscar Klefbom again. Bob Stauffer, Brendan S. Scott with you. 1250 in Edmonton. This is Oilers Now. We'll tell you that Roos Chris Steakhouse, the greatest steak you've ever had. Edmonton owned and operated and open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. Head down to 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Brendan, Maggie Taylor, and the staff at Roos Chris that Oilers Now sent you. as we re-engage with Sportsnet spec Mark Spector for the Horses in Horse Racing Alberta, featuring live standardbred racing Saturdays and Sunday nights at Saturdays and Sundays at Century Mile. Fan access remains limited, but you can watch and wager online at hbibet.com. Horse Racing Alberta, employing Albertans, contributing to the economy, and caring for our horses. And we are joined by the biggest Donald Trump fan in the city of Edmonton, Mark Spector. Do you have a politician that you did look up to?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a political animal here. I just like a guy that looks like he's a decent person out there. You know, I'll say this. I thought Obama was a wise orator. He always said things that sort of were inspiring. In terms of in Canada, I can't think of anyone in Canada that's made me think, wow, I like that guy.
The texters are saying Speck probably liked Pierre Trudeau. It should be mentioned.
Kicked out of Ralph Klein. He was a pretty straight ahead friend, old Ralph Klein. He said what he thought, right? He didn't miss a lot of words.
Now, I've told you the story, Mark. You know this. I lived in the same condo complex as Ralph Klein, and it was very, just so the listeners are aware, very middle class, okay? Yeah. Just along Victoria Promenade, and this is when I first started dating Kathy, and so that's where we had our place, and he was a couple floors above ours, and as you know, back then I was the SID in the weekend at the U of A and doing the show on the other station, and sometimes I'd get back from the U of A at, I don't know, 10:30, 11, 11:30, 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and somebody's car would be pulling up when my car was there, except he had a driver and I didn't. So he was a pretty interesting fellow, Mark. Pretty interesting guy.
No, for sure. You know what? I'll give Don Iverson credit. Don Iverson's a pretty straight-talking guy, too. I don't mind Don Iverson a bit. He's been dealt a tough hand lately. Any politician, Bob, in this situation is, you try being a politician with COVID going on and the economy tanking and, you know, oil prices doing what they're doing, and good luck, right? Good luck trying to please people in these conditions. So.
Yeah, and it does get, I mean, that's the spec, let's be honest here. It gets used to spin and fight whatever people's political agendas are as well, right? In terms of if somebody doesn't like the current provincial party in power. I mean, I'm well aware of what happened with Pierre Trudeau when he was prime minister and sort of, you know, wasn't the biggest fan of Alberta. When he was justice minister, I'd say he was probably a little bit ahead of his time on some social issues. So
it's like trying to coach the Oilers in the 90s, Bob. You could be a hell of a coach, but with that lineup, no chance, right?
Well, could you imagine Spec being, you know, being those players? Like, as an example, today, 31 years ago, Grant Fuhr, the Oilers started out, they were only 6-9-2 to start the year that year, Mark. And this is an 89-90, so you know what happened at the end of the season. But Edmonton had a tough start to the year. Buffalo came into Edmonton. They just lift the Oilers up in Buffalo a couple days earlier. Came into Edmonton. They were 12-4-3 out of the gate. And Fuhr pitched a shutout, 3-0. And the Oilers, the rest of the year, ended up going 32-19-9 in the regular season and 16-6 in the playoffs. But could you imagine those guys that were on the Oilers? This is when you broke in, was sort of around the 90. I mean, you were there every day on the plane with those guys trying to live up to the ghosts of the past, that sort of 93-96 group. There were some tough miles for those guys, wasn't there?
And I can vividly remember a conversation with Doug Weight and Bill Guerin, and it was a private conversation off the record then, but I don't mind talking about it now, where, you know, Billy Guerin said, look, you got to stop comparing us to the Oilers of the mid-80s. Like, you got to move on here. You know, and I remember Doug Weight saying, look, we're trying to win just as hard as they were, but I don't think we have, I mean, they didn't have six Hall of Famers yet then. But I think he said, you know, we probably don't have six Hall of Fame players on this roster. So, you know, we're doing our best here. But, you know, you reporters and the city and the fans, you just have to stop looking at us through the same lens that you looked at the 1987 team through, because we're not that team. And he wasn't, you know, looking for an excuse. He was telling the truth, frankly.
Mark, that's a great lesson, you know, because it's funny. I know that there were some people critical of the Oilers' four-game series loss and specifically targeting some of the Oilers' top players for the criticism. And I thought back against Chicago, against a team that's got three or four Hall of Fame players in a four-game series in which the goaltending really struggled. And I remember back to 1982, the Oilers losing to an LA team that was 48 points behind them. The Oilers having a team with seven Hall of Fame players, including, you know, it was seven Hall of Fame players, and they lost LA in five games and had three of the games in front of actual fans at Edmonton, Mark. And so,
what did they get called, Bob, in the media?
It wasn't, Mark, it wasn't the same. Well, I know Terry Jones gave it to him a bit, and
called them weak-kneed wimps is what he called them. And, right, that was the headline: weak-kneed wimps, and those players on that team digested that headline and
let's see if this current group, which is not as talented, nowhere near as deep,
No one's saying they are.
Right, but let's see how they continue to progress and grow. And you know what, Mark? If they don't progress and grow, I don't think it's necessarily on the players. It's also a reflection upon the fact that the right support mechanisms weren't built, like the right support guys weren't built. It's harder. I think you would agree. Are we ever? You know what? That's a great place to start our conversation at 1 o'clock. Can you even realistically put a team like that together anymore because of the salary cap? Is that even feasible, Mark?
Well, you could put them together, but you couldn't keep them together that long. You know, that would be the key here, right? And you know, you look at how quickly the great players or the best players get paid. Connor McDavid's making $12.5 million in his second contract, so that immediately impinges on your salary cap when he's still 21 years old. So, yeah, no, Bob, you couldn't have four Connor McDavids on your team. You know, so it's a cap now. It wasn't a cap then, right? It just wasn't a cap back then, and players didn't make any money. So it's a different time. There's no doubt.
Some people didn't like the fact that I suggested that on some social issues, Trudeau might have been ahead of his time. I was referring to comments like the government has no place in the bedroom, things like that. Read between the lines of what I'm saying. All right, 12:57 in Edmonton, and I didn't say anything about Justin because that's another conversation for another day, and I don't have the same feelings for him. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn. Lots more to get to. Mark Spector, Sportsnet spec for the horses on Horse Racing Alberta and Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.